The Syracuse Sweep, Grumpy Old Man, Jay Willie on NIL, the Doug Fresh Question of the Week, and more. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jay Willie Show. I am Mark Jerome, joined by the ACC's best associate head coach, Jason Williford. We are sponsored by Rhines and Rogers, where Charlottesville gets engaged tonight, and North Carolina versus Pitt. Just kidding. That's why we're a little delayed. We were all watching that game. Jay Will's good game.
It was a heck of an ending. Great game. Now I've got the NC State scout, so I'm got my other computer up, and I'm trying to follow that one. But it was a good game.
Who are they playing?
State scout. NC State's playing Florida State.
Okay, that is a good game. What half is it?
It just started.
Okay.
NC State's up 15-4.
Do you like scouting?
Yeah.
Why the hesitation?
Only because I don't know if our guys pay attention to half the stuff we tell them. So, scouting's fun, especially in the league, because you know you just get to see those guys over and over, and some good individual talent. It was really good when there was some continuity with coaches who had been in the league. Like I always had Roy Williams. I always had, well, Leonard's still there. But it'd been a little bit of a turnover. But, you know, you kind of get to know what they're doing and just see different wrinkles. So, yeah, that's the fun part.
And I suppose watching the kids understand the plays, and when you see a defensive player know where he's supposed to be to stop a play on the opposing team, that's our scout, and the kids paid attention.
Well, especially when you get a stop, or if you're like, coach, we can run this play and we'll get something, like they can't defend this. So that's always good. The most frustrating part is the scout team, to be honest, the green machine. When they screw up, or they don't execute like as hard as the other team, it's hard to simulate. But if you ask those guys, I am chewing them out. Don't turn the ball over. Let's get a good shot and play defense the way they're going to play defense. But it's so hard to simulate.
You talked about the green team. Who was your, explain the green team. That's the scout team. Those are the players who are simulating the other team's offense and defensive sets.
Yeah, right? those are our walk-ons. Those are guys that are redshirting. And we've had some really good green teams over the years.
That's exactly where I was going. Who is your all-time green team?
If I go by position, it would be – well, the best green team we had was with – probably when Malcolm and Anthony were both sitting out and they were on green, and they were a handful. We had a couple other walk-ons with those two, and I just kept telling Tone, we're going to be really good when these two can play. Mama D was a green team guy. DeAndre was a green team guy. You know, we've got the two first years this year, Jack Salt. I mean, we had really good green teams. The best, though, is when you get to put the GA on the green team, like Isaiah or Vershaw. When we had Big Versh, oh, my God, he could pass the ball. Those guys made it fun.
Is Isaiah still playing now?
Yeah, he still gets after it.
How does he do it?
He can't jump anymore, so he pivots 20 times in the paint, and we're all yelling 3 seconds. But quite honestly, that'll be good. I know we got a game prior to State, but that'll be good when he tries to do what DJ Burns is doing.
That's a big boy.
Yes.
DJ Burns is a big, big boy. Me and my little guy, me and my little nightmare monster of a two-year-old boy, we watch the games with him, and we call him Big Daddy, both of us. Big Daddy.
He's going to be a load.
Yeah. Going back to, okay.
Uh-oh. What we got, Spence? Ooh.
Spence, can you make that a little bigger?
So this is an alumni green team that came back this summer and worked out with us.
Wow.
How about that?
You're talking about four or five pros there.
Yeah. So that's
six pros.
One, that's two, Mamadi.
Five pros.
AG, Sam, Zay, and Jay.
And Zay played professionally overseas, right? But you're talking about four NBA players.
Yeah.
Spence is on his game as always.
No, so those guys in the summers, they always come back and jump in. So that's fun.
Going back to Carolina Pitt, what do you think I'm going to ask you?
No clue.
Who were you rooting for?
I didn't care. I don't care.
I'm just not buying that.
I don't care.
I'm not buying that.
I like Jeff Capel. But they beat us. So, you know, for us, we need them to lose, I guess. I don't care who. As long as we take care of business, it doesn't matter.
You have such a long history with Carolina. And it's got to be seen as a little bit of a rivalry.
Well, they probably don't see it that way.
I'm not, but you.
Well, I couldn't beat them. We never beat them in the Dean Dome as a player.
Did you really dislike them as a player? Well,
yeah, I disliked everybody. Them, Duke, Maryland, I disliked everybody.
Okay. And how do you feel about them now?
They don't bother me. I mean, we beat them here from time to time. Hard to win down there. I remember a game, Ty and Kyle's maybe their second year, first year. We go down there and we get done by 20. It was the first year. It was awful.
That was a butt whooping.
Yeah, no, that was bad.
and then you guys beat them at home. And they went on to win the national championship.
We turn around and beat them. Yep. No, those games are fun. You know, that's why you come to Virginia. That's why you want to play in the ACC to go up against, you know, those guys.
Yeah. That's why you come to Virginia and look at you guys just rolling right now.
We're doing our thing, knock on wood.
Playing very well. Wasn't the best performance, a little sloppy the other night, but you still won a road game in conference against a team that's solid. That's pretty good. I'll give them pretty good when they play.
Well, so one, you're on the road in the ACC. Always tough to go on the road. Two, you're going up against that zone. Always hard to go as much as we go against six guys in a zone, and you know, it's just it wears on you. Yeah. They change up different looks, they get aggressive, they don't, you know, sometimes they don't guard the middle, sometimes they guard the middle. Sometimes they're darting passing lanes, then they throw the press on. And they've got some decent offensive players. Judah Mintz is gonna be a good player. He's as a first year. Gerard can get going. Edwards down the side. I thought in the first half, we got out to a good start, but then I thought our guys thought it was gonna be easy. And then they start touching the paint. We had some defensive breakdowns. The ball got in the paint way too easy in the first half. Fortunate enough, we made some shots with, but we also, I thought, had some careless turnovers. We turned that thing over. And then it just got nip and tuck the second half. They made a run. They took the lead. We came back. We made some big timely shots. Got some good stops. Fortunately for us, they missed some free throws. But I thought we got a little more aggressive defensively in the second half, where we were flying around and post trapping more and just trying to be a little more disruptive.
Spencer, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and this was 2 days ago, So I don't remember. The other issue that you might have had where it becomes a little challenging is you play home Saturday and you're on a plane flying up to Syracuse on Sunday to prepare. You have one day rest. They had one day rest too, but it's there. It's at home. It's a little bit different in a very familiar setting.
Yeah, but that's this time of year. It's always, especially for guys who may not have been in there before, to shoot in that building. And you know, you just got to get used to it, get acclimated to the backdrop, and then the zone. Like I said, a lot of teams will show zone and then go back man, and you know, you kind of can run some of your man offense and maybe get a quick hitter or two. You just don't get that luxury against that zone.
Yep. By the way, 24-4 NC State blowing out Florida State.
Where is that game? At NC State?
At NC State.
Yeah.
Casey Marcel, 6 points. DJ Burns, 6 points. Casey Marcel, 1-for-1 from three. Joyner's pretty tough player, too. Let's go back to Syracuse. How would you rate the first half? And let's go through the first half a little bit. It seemed like Syracuse had a little bit of a different game plan. I haven't watched them in a long time try to take away the middle. I've watched them leave that middle open and open and open almost every game. It seemed like Boeheim decided, I'm going to give a different look.
So what's interesting is you're right. So we've always had success putting a guy in the middle, either a guard or a big who can operate in there, right? But the Virginia Tech game exposed him a little bit because it kept getting to the middle. And then Tech got whatever they wanted. They fanned out to the corners. They threw it back to the top. They threw it underneath from the middle. And late in the Tech game, they adjusted, and Edwards stepped up and actually – got some tips as the ball was being entered into that, you know, that nail hole middle of the zone area. And they just carried that over to our game. And so we were able to throw behind it a little bit, got a couple lobs. You know, we threw it from the top down. JG got a couple short corner jumpers early. And so they just kept adjusting. They second half, they didn't let it in as much, and we put some guys behind it, but it was tough. You know, they pressed Mintz and God, what's the other kid?
Gerard.
Who?
Gerard.
No, the other guard, Samir Torrance.
Yeah.
When those two are in, they become a little better defensively because they anticipate, they start darting passing lanes, and they kind of had us on our heels, and we were playing tentative, you know, not being as aggressive when those two were in together a little bit. And then the post trap, you know, they made us scramble. They put Bell back in the game. He banged a three. It was contested, but so they got back in the game with some timely shots. But it, you know, life on the road, you know, as you saw, Clemson goes, you know, to BC last night, and life on the road is tough.
The game, sticking with the Syracuse game, why do you think that Syracuse out of the zone is able to cause so many turnovers? You would think turnovers in the zone, there shouldn't be that many turnovers.
Yeah. No, I think it's because
it's not just UVA too, though. It's not limited just to
it's everybody, but it's not like it's not your traditional 2-3. I mean, it is almost a 4-1. And that one guy in the back is normally a big time shot blocker. Huge wingspan, and then they put those wings way up. So hard to really get the ball from top to wing or behind the zone. And then they just take away passing lanes. I mean, their anticipation is good. And I think that's why they press well. When they do decide to press, they're active, you know, and they anticipate the next pass, and they've got, you know, they got decent size.
Halftime, you're up one. Are you like, okay, satisfied? Are you upset? Are you angry? What's the halftime speech?
No, we're a little disappointed. Like I said, the ball got into the paint too much.
Yep.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, they were shooting a really high percentage because they got paint touches. It was something like, if memory serves correct, 24 to 6 points in the paint differential.
I believe Spencer reported at during our halftime show that Syracuse had 22 or 24 points in the paint.
Yeah, no, it was too easy, and we were disappointed in that. But understanding what type of game, we knew it was going to be that type of game. And we had a couple breakdowns where just miscommunications on some ball screens and some things that allowed them to get easier buckets.
What was the adjustment that you guys talked about as a coaching staff at halftime? Ryan Dunn, I don't know how many minutes he played in the first half.
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't know exactly. I don't have that box score, but I think for us it was just fly around more. And we were trying to pay attention to Gerard and not being as much gap conscious, but more conscious of where he was, so he couldn't get threes. And we just decided we're gonna go back to being in gaps. We're gonna post trap whenever, because you know Edwards hurt us. You know, we were trying to play him one on one, and he took it to us early. But I think just a little more energy and effort and flying around defensively. We got a few steals. If I'm not mistaken, we were able to get some steals, you know, maybe speed them up a little bit. But we couldn't allow our bigs to play one-on-one anymore in the post. Every time we did, it was either a bucket or a foul. So that, you know, we've got to tighten that up.
I don't remember Edwards taking 8 shots in a game for Cuse that I've seen in a long time, if he ever has, because Judah Mensen, Gerard control and dominate that ball so much. And I always say Syracuse is the perfect team for you guys to play, because they don't run anything, and you guys do such a good job of playing help defense. Now, if Gerard gets hot, that becomes a little bit of an issue. But outside,
yeah, I wouldn't say they don't run anything. They got a lot of quick hitting stuff, Mark, but then they got guys that can go do it off the bounce.
Right.
But there's some actions that, you know, we fell asleep on one cross screen action, didn't help on a ball screen. Like I said, it's all quick hitting though.
And a lot of ball screens, right? But right. It's not like, hey, we're gonna quick hitters or nothing or just attack. Right. Which is what they've been doing for years.
Right.
Which I think is one of the reasons why we've dominated them so much over the last lost one out of in the last 5 years. I believe that's what Spence said. Of course, Spence coming up with the great stats.
Hey, this game is not close right now.
No, what is it? 29
33-6.
Yeah. NC State's not bad. I saw what they did to Duke.
No, they're good. They're good. They got me nervous.
Yeah. I thought Boeheim's plan was pretty solid, right? And taking away that middle, because you guys have just obliterated it in the last many years. So I was watching the game with a bunch of my buddies who are Syracuse guys, and one of them owns a bunch of restaurants in the city. And we're watching the game there, and they're just laying into Boeheim. Laying into him. And we'll get to that in a minute. Of course, he's the subject of grumpy old man I'm referring to. Right? Second half, I thought it was just like a gutsy win. It wasn't beautiful. It wasn't pretty basketball, but just gutsy. Did what you had to do. Made the right plays.
I think if you want to be good and you're in the midst of chasing something special, those are the types of games you're going to be in. You got to find a way to win. Especially on the road. So good teams figure that out. And you know, it may not be our A game. Hell, it may not be our B game. But we found a way to win, and we'll take that. take that, as Soderbergh said, we got a birdie. Take that birdie and get out of there.
Got to. IMac, let's talk about the bench real quick. Kaden playing 11 minutes. He's got to be happy about that, right? From not playing much to getting, maybe feeling like he's contributing a little more, maybe feeling like he's part of the party.
He had a good week of practice, and we challenged him. And, you know, I actually thought his minutes were solid. I still want to see him not, you know, pick up cheap fouls and go snatch rebounds when they're in his area. But I thought his minutes were solid. And I hope he, you know, just continues to build on that. Like I said last week, we're going to need him. We got some big dudes we're going up against. And so we're going to need his contribution.
What do you say to him about the one rebound in 11 minutes?
You got to be better. You got to have a nose for the ball. And again, you've got your hands full, right? So you're trying to block out a big guy. And sometimes if he keeps his guy off, he's done his job. But I think there are times where he can go get some out of his area and just anticipate, especially defensively.
Ryan Dunn had played a bunch of minutes the last couple of games, 9 minutes this game. Catches a good alley-oop, makes a couple of plays, makes a couple of hustle plays.
Yeah, and you know, it's a game where, you know, you got to be sound with the ball. You know, we probably were going to play Ben and JG more just because of their offense and ability to play in the middle of the zone. Normally, you know, Ryan's on the wing, but we put him in that dunk spot area where we were hoping to get a lob or two behind it, and he went and caught one, and we were hoping for a few more from he and Caden, because that behind that zone is so open. It's just hard for those guards to see that all the time and make those plays.
Right. Are you telling IMac, by the way, never to throw another alley-oop?
No, he's got to stay aggressive. I mean, right look, you know, just didn't execute it great, but it's probably there if he throws a better pass.
I'm teasing because I think he's doing terrific.
No, he's good.
Yeah. Play 18 minutes that game and 2 for 4. What did you think of the performance of the two? I call them Charlottesville guys because that's where they went to school. They're up at Syracuse, but Malik Brown played the most minutes, played 40 minutes for Cuse.
Yeah, they were without Benny Williams that game. And so Malik got his second start. Justin, you know, they both have been playing and getting minutes for them. They're going to be good players.
That'll be a fun rabbit. Well, I don't know how they see it over the last four. They got to be looking
playing UVA. I think anytime they can stick it to us, they want to stick it to us. But, you know, they – for them, they're probably just happy to be getting minutes and contributing right now.
Justin Taylor played 31. That's tremendous for a freshman.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, and he's playing better and better, as is Malik. Malik had a really solid game. What's the message to the boys after the game? Is it great job, get in, get out? Let's roll. Let's get ready for our next game. Is it this is what we have to do better? How much time do you guys spend in talking to the team after a game like that?
No, we addressed areas where we need to be better, but we also told them, you know, it's a good win. Road wins are tough. Road wins are, you know, you got to go in those situations, in those settings, and stay together and defend. We're disappointed in the first half, but they responded in the second half, because, you know, shots aren't going to always fall. Different shooting on the road than home. But we, you know, we're going to take that one. You know, but we know we got a big one Saturday. You know, it's the boys down the road and off of 81. And, you know, that place is going to be crazy. Especially after them taking one on the chin to Miami, where I thought they played some good offensive ball both ways. But you know, it's take the win, continue to improve in areas we need to improve on, be better. But we got to get ready. Got to get ready for the next one.
And we'll get into that a little bit later. Dougie's favorite coach at Virginia. Second favorite coach, sorry. Second favorite head coach. Apologies. He'll talk about it. He calls him Mike Brown. I don't know why, but that's what he calls him. All right. So after the game, go say hello or go congratulate or whatever you say to Boeheim. Did he shake your hand?
Yeah, he shook everyone's hand.
He just, I mean, he looked like a grumpy old man walking by, head down, didn't smile, didn't look at anybody's face.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he wasn't happy. He shook our hands. Normally, those guys don't say a whole lot. I mean, he'll say something to Tone. Tone may say something to him. But a lot of times, it's just, you know, good game and keep it moving.
I don't think he said anything, though, when watching go down the handshake line, when he at least shook hands with TB.
Oh, I don't know. I say something to the assistants that I know, and but I happened to glance, and Hertz was at the end of the scores table, right by their bench, and I'm like, that's what's he doing here? And Tony stopped and said something to him, so that caught me off guard.
He was sitting with their billionaire booster Weitzman.
Okay,
I believe Weitzman flew him up in his private plane.
Yeah, I just happened to see him. I didn't notice him. I think one of the guys may have said something earlier, and I didn't pay it any mind. But then Tone said something to him. I thought, oh, that's, you know, that he's still the second best quarterback in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
No response.
Because we all know that's not true. So
no response. He's got a better team right now. He's not the better quarterback.
Who's a better quarterback in Pennsylvania than Jalen Hurts?
Kenny Pickett.
Who?
Kenny Pickett.
Okay. Stop drinking whatever's in that water right now. Stop it. Okay. Now, going back to Boeheim, they remind you of any other coach that doesn't say speak when they lose, but is very happy to talk to everybody when they win?
No. I'm not going there. I'm not taking the bait. No.
There's no bait, it's just a question.
And I don't, that doesn't bother me. When we lose, that's the last thing I want to do to us.
The only question was, does it remind you of not? Does it bother you or not?
No. But who wants to be buddy when you lose? Just shake my hand and let's get to the locker.
But I want you to be the same sport you are when you lose as when you win and want to talk to everybody. When you want to talk to everybody when you win, hey, buddy, good game. Why don't you come and joke around and have speeches with everybody? I still remember the guy that he may or may not remind you of from that Duke University, the former head coach.
Uh-oh.
Giving speeches to different players when they won. And when they didn't, it was – and you know what? It carries over into the other players, into the manager, because I know one of the managers, I know a couple of managers who were at Duke for years. By the way, I'm going to give them a plug. Their parents own Peter Luger's restaurant in New York City. And so I've known them for years. They were in my program and the parents, good friends with the parents. And after we beat Duke, the year with Bagley and those guys.
Was that the fake pass three?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But the manager of the team, who I've known, who I wrote a recommendation letter, who I hung out with his mom having lunch and whatever that weekend, wouldn't even talk to Ty. They've known each other since they were 8 or 9 years old.
And he was pissed.
You could be pissed. So you're gonna have such bad sportsmanship that you're going to taint a relationship that you've had.
No, you just don't talk to him right then, but afterwards in the lobby, you can say what's up.
This was like an hour later.
Oh, okay, man. Okay, that's different.
Stop. But even still, be like, yo, good game. Right? we I'll let Dougie talk about it. We get players, somehow we get top freshmen all the time. Right? The top guys. Dougie may or may not mention that a little bit later, why that is. Right. Anyway, let's take it off of him. take the focus off him and go back to Boeheim and send his press conferences. And do you think he's become a curmudgeon? Do you think he's was always like that, being 78 years old and getting a little ornery? In his press conference, I'll let you know, in his press conference, he yelled at a student reporter a couple of games ago, and then he yelled at a student reporter again after the post-game and the post-game conference.
You guys are privy to way more than I am. I don't, none of that. I read, see, it, I could care less.
It doesn't bother you?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
That stuff for the forum, you got that is that the pregame, that's post-game talk?
I don't know if we talked about the post-game on Monday night because I had to go back to mocking my Syracuse guys. Letting them know who the best team in the ACC was.
No, I
spent a lot of time in the post-game.
But quite honestly, Mark, I
may have information on that.
I barely can keep up with, you know,
all his media.
The media reports.
What a coach is supposed to do, right? He's supposed to mentor. He's supposed to act as an example. Right? And the way he's leading is by poor sportsmanship right now.
And we got a good leader. Virginia's got a great leader. That's all I worry about.
We got a couple of people that say we're so happy we have TV.
There you go.
I can't. I mean, I don't act like Boeheim when I coach, but I certainly and I'm not good enough to act like TB and just be such a good sport, but I'm not such a bad sport either. Depending on the game, depending on the other team. Depending on the character of the other team.
Man, this thing, good gracious.
What's the score now?
44-16 with 4:30 to go.
What's the man score?
100 points tonight.
Yeah. So that's my point about coaches and mentors, right? What you're supposed to, how you're supposed to lead by example and what you're supposed to teach the young people that you're coaching, right? By the way, Judah Mintz, you talked about, you said he's going to become a really good player. Do you think he's here next year?
I mean, if he is, they got a good player coming back. Man, I don't know what people are telling him, but you know, he gave Reese some problems, and to do that and to get, you know, get in the paint, you know, he's shifty, you know, not shooting the three ball great, but you know, if he can get some bumps with ball screens and you know, he can touch that paint, that mid range, he's a confident kid, always has been. I remember him out of high school up in DC. I watched him when he was younger. Always a very confident kid, like in his offensive ability to score, good athlete. He's going to be good for them.
Super athletic, right? If he does leave, they've got a couple of guys signed to come on, including a kid that just signed, what my guys told me, signed a kid out of New York City, got $1 million NIL deal.
I know they just got a commitment, but I don't know.
The kid from Hayes that plays in the backcourt with Ian Jackson.
Okay.
Elijah Moore. He's tough. He's good. Shoots it really well. And the guy that brought up Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Put out here may be involved in helping and coordinating that $1 million NIL deal, which is insane.
That's a lot of bread.
Or a 16, 17, 18-year-old kid?
Now, how can – don't get me going. I don't know. How are they doing that? Are they – that's a lot of loot.
A lot for anybody, but especially for a kid that young. So I don't know how you see the NIL situation. Do you see it as the wild, wild west? Has there been – you know, this is a chance. I see it as possibly perhaps for some schools to have a chance to get back up to maybe where they once were, like a Syracuse. If they're flashing around money, throwing money legally versus illegally, because Boeheim may be, I don't know if he's watched more closely since he had some games taken away from him after being scrutinized after some NCAA.
it'd be more than a million. You see that question mark?
I can see it. I don't know if the audience can see it. What would Jay Willie's NIL valuation be if he played today?
I would ask for a whole lot more than a million. I wouldn't be worth that at all, but I would ask.
Maybe you can make a deal for every rebound you got.
Yeah, that's not many.
I heard you were a heck of a rebounder.
I was a decent rebounder, but what we putting on it? It needs to be more than a dollar.
Who would you want to be? Who would you sign with? Who would you want somebody to be to endorse you?
I don't know that. I just would have been happy they gave me anything. Coming from Richmond, my folks didn't have it like that. I would have been whatever they chose to give me at that time. Now, some of my teammates, yeah, I already know what they would have asked for the world.
Why not?
Well, I know.
Especially if it's being offered and people are throwing it around.
So you hear like what you just said about the Syracuse kid. I don't know how accurate all of these dollar amounts are. You know, you hear all of this stuff, but you know, there's some big dollar signs being floated out there. You know, I think it's great that the kids have an opportunity to make money and use their image and likeness. It's crazy. I want to see what happens 2 years, 3 years down the road when all Uncle Sam come calling for the IRS and all these tax implications with no one's claiming revenue and you know, you're getting taxed on all that, you know, because I think that's when something has to happen or will make a change when the kids aren't doing what they're supposed to do money-wise.
Right. So one of the biggest discussions happening right now with NIL is should student athletes be seen as employees?
Well, or- I think as long as we're allowing them to do the image and likeness, name, image, and likeness, we've got to educate them on the responsibilities financially. And I think part of that image and likeness should be financial literacy and what to do with the monies. And, you know, I know we're doing that. We're trying to do that with our guys and we've got stuff in place, but I think that should be across the board. If you legislate anything, that should be something that is legislated.
Yeah. And that's great that you guys are offering financial literacy because there's so many kids out there who just come into money. And CJ McCollum said a couple of years ago, there are several, I don't remember if it was 60, 65, 70% of the players in the NBA live paycheck to paycheck.
And they end up going broke.
A lot of them end up going broke. So the NBA, I know, holds seminars or conducts seminars with a lot of players, right, to repair that and to fix that model. And Tom Henske just chimed in. And Tom Henske, we got to get Tom Henske on, Little Ski's dad, talking about what he's doing. He's doing something remarkable, teaching financial literacy through a book and through his series on a podcast. It's fascinating what he's doing. So we'll get him on talking about it maybe as a guest next week. It applies to everybody across the board.
It really does. Those guys, you know, if they're making half of what is being reported, you know, that's life changing for a lot of those kids. And something has to be done so that they can preserve that money and do right by their money and not be taken advantage of.
Yep. I told you last summer, I did an event with the NBPA, the Basketball Players Association in DC, where we had high level Under Armour teams, Nike teams, and Adidas teams playing against each other. We had 8 teams, put them up in the hotel in the Marriott. We played the games at the Convention Center, right, which is adjacent to the Marriott Marquis. And then we gave them financial seminars and financial advice, financial advisory seminars. It was really cool.
I think it's crucial.
A lot of a few of those kids are going to be playing at the next level. And even the ones that aren't. The ones that aren't are fantastic. Another message from our guy, Tom.
Tom. Hey, you notice I can't see, so I've got to come down here. These glass, I told you before, I probably need to change my prescription.
I get it. No, but they have these, right?
Yeah.
Which I have on these. The depth is better, much better for seeing close or seeing where you don't have to sit too far, you don't have to sit too close. It lets you read everything. So you got to look into these. They're great.
I can just look like a granddad and look over the top like I always
don't forget to get the headband.
Yeah.
So, but your overall thoughts on NIL? Are you for it? Are you against it? One of my good friends was saying, maybe it should be a trust fund too, right? So whenever you finish playing in high school or college, you have access to it. But having access to it while you're in school, does that disrupt any team chemistry? Does that make somebody feel like a coach can't tell me anything if I'm making $1, 2, 3 million in NIL?
No, I look at it different from this perspective. I like it. I think it's here to stay. And the dynamic of the locker room has always been the haves and the have-nots, right? So, what I mean by that is there's a starting five, and then there are guys that come off the bench, and then there are guys that don't play at all, right? So there's always the locker room takes care of itself. So NIL, I think the guys that want more money are going to get money, and the guys that are merit more are going to get more. And that's how it is. I mean, it's the nature of sport. It's the nature of capitalism, if you want to say that. If you're good at your job, you get paid more. If you're not good, you get paid. You know, so I think what I like to see is if everybody got a certain amount, say, there's a collective and you can give each kid X amount of dollars for you know, just using easy numbers. Let's just say the number's 20, right? 20,000. Each guy on scholarship gets 20,000. Then your name, image, and likeness, whatever you can go out and get, you get that on top of whatever it is that is provided.
Okay, Willie,
so,
are you a socialist?
No, I, all I'm saying is that, like, Kihei Clark is going to get more.
I get it. I love that.
Than Chase Coleman. So,
right. And Chase Coleman puts in the same effort, energy.
But he understands that, and he's good with that, and those two are the tightest of friends, and I don't think it makes a difference. Now, I think there are going to be some kids that may be jealous of the other, but if you got a good culture and you're getting good kids in your program, it all works itself out anyway.
That was reported what happened with Duke a couple of years ago with Bagley and Wendell Carter Jr. When Wendell Carter Jr. signed early, and it was reported that perhaps.
Where do you get all of your info? How do you know this? I got no clue what Wendell Carter and Bagley were doing.
Do you want me to really shout you out? No. Don't say that.
No, don't do
we
that.
We know the same information.
Don't.
We know the same information. Let's not get on the whole James Wiseman thing that we talked about a while ago in Bahamas.
Who?
Okay, we'll move on. James Wiseman, the fellow that went to Memphis, FedEx.
Yeah.
Me, you, and Orlando were having a conversation about it in Bahamas.
Mark, I forget.
I'm sure. All right. So I'm glad that, you know, that you shared your feelings about it, especially because it's going to directly impact you. It could very well impact you and your child or children in the very near future.
Well, if my wife's got anything to do with the recruiting, she's all over this.
She should be.
Yeah. She's like, yes, we want good school and big, big package. I'm like, sweetie, please don't be that way.
And you're going to say no because we're going to share all our money with everybody else on the team?
No, I'm going to tell her that let the boy decide what's best for him and stay out of it.
That's what you're going to do too?
I'm going to try.
Dougie Fresh, where you at? Let's give my man Dougie Fresh with the question of the week. There he is.
Has to be Fresh.
Before we start getting into you, do you believe half of the stuff that Jay Willie said today about NIL, about his child?
Oh yeah, I believe him for sure. Jay's a grown man now. If he was 20 years old when I knew him, I wouldn't believe shit. But yeah, Jay's got it figured out, man. He's doing good. Him and his family are good. I absolutely believe it. Yes.
Did you give him the bell?
He did. You didn't hear the ring?
I'll do it again in case so you didn't hear it. Because you know what? I don't think he got one last week.
He didn't. He was on good behavior.
I didn't. I cut myself off. I want to say a lot of things. I love my favorite thing so far is the haves and have nots. Because that makes me think of Chris Havlicek. You got your have and your have nots.
Hey, Fresh, speaking of that, you sent that video thing to me today. I watched it a little bit. Have was in the game. They were talking about him.
Yeah, when we played at Duke, he had a great game.
Yeah.
Got in if you watched that game. So they had the Marky. I sent to you guys too. Somebody on LRA, of course.
You gotta explain what it is.
So a guy on Locker Room Access sent a thing. I was talking about old school games, and it's like six of the games. It's on the forum, of course, or my Fresh forum. And it's like six games of my fourth year. So
yeah, it's what, UMass 93?
At 93, yeah. Yeah. UMass at in Syracuse, which is a great game. You played great. At Duke, Carolina, forget that.
Duke at home.
Jay, you know what? Watch Duke at home. Duke on the road, Duke at home, which we swept them for the that's the first time since 83, by the way. I don't know if you guys have done that since. The first time since 83, and you know, that's when you were really coming out. But, dude, you should show your team now the way you guys crash the boards. Like, I'm out in the perimeter doing my shit. You guys are just screaming and mauling and boom.
Mark.
You got me.
It's such a different game, Fresh. Like, watching it.
It's compact, right?
We were all inside the three-point line.
Well, speak for yourself, not me.
I mean, okay, you dribbled up, and then you were inside the three-point line.
Yeah. Oh, I was never inside the three-point line. It was a team rule, Marky, my last year. I was not allowed to roam inside the three.
It was unbelievable watching that, Fresh. Like, how
it is.
I mean, the game is so much more about spacing and floor balance and keep opening the lane. Man, it was eight people in the lane. Nine people.
But if you, yeah. But and if you watch RD though, RD is not so much different than what you guys do.
No, so it's funny when I first got here and Tony was, you know, we're pack line, we do this, yeah. And it had a name. And as I'm watching film and we're practicing, I'm like, Tony, it's the same defense I play.
That's how it came up. We used to denied a little bit more than you guys do, I think, and didn't. And we also forced baseline. You guys forced middle, am I right or am I wrong?
Well, I honestly, Fresh, we just kept the ball in front of us. We tried to keep it, but we always had help. There was always help. So it really was
packed. For me, thank goodness.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't denial. We weren't. I mean, it was everything was cushion, keep it in front, shoot contested shots. It was crazy. I tell you what was glaring, the amount of turnovers we had. We threw the ball away like
insane amount.
Yeah.
Speak for yourself. I led the team in assist to turnover ratio for the record, Marky. 2.37 to 1.
You and Cornell were doing that thing all over the place.
Me and Cornell, it was Cornell. Remember Cornell would get the rebound and just like, he would do the craziest shit. And you'll see multiple times, I'm like on the wing, jumping up and down my little ass. I'm too little. Nobody sees me. I'm wide open. I'm just trying to get a three up.
No, that was cool. You sent that to me. I watched it a little bit this afternoon.
No, thank my man. Thank my man on Locker Room Access.
Who was it? So. Let me give him a shout out. What's his name?
God damn, it's like Kamikaze Who.
All right, there you go.
Kamikaze Who, and he sent it right away. These guys, they love it, man. That community is the best. That's how Marky knows everything. I know all these stories too. He's talking about Boeheim whining, being miserable.
My boys don't think I was a good player, so now I can share that with them.
I'm telling you, dude, that second half of that season, you were really, really good. You even hit a three in the dome. You hit a three in the carrier dome. Right wing. Hey. Rattle. Hey,
what's the bell record? I don't know, but he broke it tonight.
No, I think it's got to be six. I'm going to go with six. We're up to four. Right?
All right.
Well, the whole advanced metrics, it depends on over a 40-minute game, right? So when I play this game, I'm playing a fourth of your game. If I was on the entire game with both of you two, you know, I'm like three out of every 5 minutes right now. If I sat for the whole hour, you can extrapolate and do the number, right?
There you go.
That's how it works. Hey, what changed with can I ask a basketball question? You want to talk about something else?
No, this is your is your fresh question of the week.
Jaden Gardner.
Yep.
Last couple games better. His shot has been not good. He didn't pout, but you can see he gets in his feelings a little bit when he's not playing. He wants to play well, I think.
Well, he's a competitor. And when
he's not playing, but he scored big buckets, got a lot of points, kind of back.
Dude's a competitor, and you know, he had been struggling a little bit, but what I think has happened, and I'm going to take full credit for this.
Yep.
Last week and a half, we've been playing a one-on-one game.
Yep.
And so
the bigs against the bigs?
So the bigs. I'm talking I'm a bigs guy, right? Yep. So I take the bigs.
They all
go one-on-one against Isaiah, Tristan, our walk-on, and Isaac Trout. And so Gardner and Caden and Poppy and Ben and Ryan and even Armand.
Armand in the mix.
So we go mid post elbow both sides, and they get to go against those guys. We've been doing a lot of that, and I think it's helped Gardner because he's got his mojo back. Turning faces, scoring, letting it go, and it's been good for him. So I'm going to take full credit for that.
You had the idea. Let's just do this. Do you have a dribble limit? Two dribble limit?
So it's a shot clock. It's a 5 second shot clock.
All right, perfect.
Same. So it's his elbow.
So we go right block, off the lane, facing, right elbow, left block, off the lane, facing, left elbow. And we
just go around. You play what's that game called?
Around the world.
Around the world, exactly.
But they get to go against three different defenders.
No, that's nice. That's smart.
And so, you know, it's been good. And they got a 5 second shot clock, and they've embraced that. They really like that. And it's, I think it's helped him.
Who wins the most?
He does.
He does.
He's got a way of just bumping you and shooting the fade away, and You know, he can spin on you. So he's been good.
Who comes in second?
Trout.
No, Trout's a defender.
Oh, they just play defense. I got you.
So I got you. I think probably Ben. And then it's a toss up between. So Armand hasn't done it as much as the other bigs, but Armand's been good down there. And then I think Caden and Poppy are probably close. They kind of split.
How much do you use that to determine who's going to play?
No, that's just
just development. That's straight just, development.
That's just shooting and working on game shots. Most of that stuff's determined, you know, in the 5-on-5 stuff we do, or any kind of breakdown when we're guarding, you know, other teams' actions or running our offensive stuff.
Dougie, what else you got for us?
I'd like to talk about my weekend in Charlottesville.
Fresh.
My show. Hey, had a blast, man. Jay, the best part is, 4 separate people came up to me in JPJ talking about locker room access. How great is that?
You're a star.
View from the 300s, my man, the British dude. I walked in the arena. I was messing with my boy who I came with, and I'm like, I just hope that one person recognizes me in this whole place all day.
And you got major love.
Jay, I walk in. Some dude throws me his 5-year-old kid and is like, he's like, that's Doug Smith. He's the legend. Take a picture. Locker room access. And I got to hang out with Slade up top, came to the locker room. So that was a blast, man. You know, it's always great.
No, good. It was good to see you.
To be down there.
What kind of seats did you have, Dougie?
Better than you. You know, here's a question. It's a weird part of the season. Thank you, dude. Thanks for this. What's up?
What kind of seats did you have?
What, Marky?
Where were your seats?
They're actually on top of the arena, which is fine. No, but where Jason, he probably doesn't even know. It's a place when we have the alumni games back in the day, we all sit together and it's on one end zone and you're looking toward the entrance, but you can see the play really well. And since I'm an analyst at this point, and not just a social butterfly, I was watching the offense the first half and you could see it really good, Mark. I'm telling you, from up top, the angle was phenomenal. I was fine. I don't when I go to JPJ, I don't watch. I just hang out and see
people. I love
to be honest.
He was above the band, Mark. So yeah. Unfortunately, I couldn't get him behind the team because that game, it was a very special game for us. That was the cancer game.
The
stomp out childhood cancer. Coaches for Cancer, and we had all the kids and their families from the Children's Hospital. And those were the kids that did our shoes. So they were all there. And it was pretty neat to have them and their families all be able to have that experience. So unfortunately, Fresh had to be above the band.
Yeah, I was you know who I was with Chris Slade. I mean, beyond a legend, and all the football recruits.
Right, right.
So, you know, I couldn't say too much to those guys. I had to get out of there. My only complaint, I have one complaint. The first time I'm going to the locker room after the game, my little nephew, and the dude stopped me. I'm like, dude, you got the wrong one. It's not me. Like, I'm in here. But Tristan, I was like, Tristan didn't know me, but Tristan was with Donald. Donald Hamm was there, and DJ, yeah, his son, plays for BC. Yeah. So I never met DJ. Marcus, that's the best part, man. It's like JPJ for life, UVA for life. You're running Donald Hand, his son's on another team. I saw Coach Grant before the game. He doesn't know me. I told him, you know, get ready for the beatdown. It's all good. And then Tristan doesn't know anything about me. He's like, who's this dude telling me to bring him back? He's like, all right, let's go. That's how it works, man. I got to dap up Reese in the locker room. He big time me again. That's fine.
You got to hang out with McNeely, Isaac McNeely.
I saw the whole family, and they had a family, friends of family with them. I met Mr. Vanderplas and his wife, and they had friends wearing Ohio gear, by the way. You saw that, Jay? They had the green, and I saw them on the corner afterwards, too, which is fun, man.
The polka dots.
Napoca. But you know, I come in loud and strong. Everybody gets dapped. The moms and wives get hugs, and it's, you know, make sure everybody knows. It's all good.
I'm so glad you had a good time.
Yeah, I hope you hang out with me February 11th when we go down, Marky.
I'm definitely going to hang out with you to get that royal treatment. I'd like for my seat to be a little closer.
I'm fine with the seats, man. I was fine. I love sitting behind the bench. That's special for sure at this point.
I'm not going to ask for those against Duke because I got to imagine they're going to go to some recruits.
I think we got a few guys coming.
Dougie will be in heaven.
Oh, yeah. Bags. We'll bring LRA. Send the bags, yo. You see your boy Tahad committed today, guys. Auburn.
Oh, wow.
That makes sense. Yeah, Tahad. So Tahad, for people that don't or necessarily know, is Elijah Gertrude's teammate at Hudson Catholic in Jersey City. He had a lot of big offers. I guess we restrained from offering for some reason, and he's going to Auburn.
You know who his best friend is?
Tahad? I do not know.
Elliot Cadeau.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Have you seen him, Jay Wills?
I'm not sure I'm allowed to speak on guys that are not committed.
Signed. Well, committed and signed is different, right?
I think it's got to be signed to NLIs, right? I get those two mixed up. NLI, NIL.
I think I did
last National Letter of Intent. Oh, it's not. By the way, it's not over with Tahad in my mind. So we'll stay tuned, everybody.
Backyard. Dude, the dudes were getting it from Auburn before NIL.
Right. OG.
How many lives does Bruce Pearl have?
All of them.
Yeah, I know it.
All right, Dougie. All right, y'all. Awesome show every time, man.
51:29.
How much time left?
Start of the second. They're going to get 100.
Maybe. 51? We'll see.
Also, Jay, you were supposed to hang out after the game, man.
I got caught up, Fresh. My apologies.
I get it. Your mother-in-law was in town.
My mother-in-law lives with me. My father, my father-in-law came down. And so we were all hanging out. And Austin had a game at Fork Union that evening.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. I didn't know that. All right, forgiven. Thanks again. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. We don't quit.
We'll be back.
All right.
Dougie, before you go.
What's up?
Ask about your favorite coach in Virginia Tech coming up.
Mike Brown?
Second favorite head coach.
Mike Young?
I love the guy. I call him Mike Brown. I got stuck at Mike Brown. I think he's great, man. The Wofford guy, he brought all of his players from Wofford. Couture, Aluma?
Aluma, I wish he left Couture in Wofford. That dude is shooting the lights out.
Yeah, is Basil from – he's not Wofford, is he?
No, Basili is a
– Mutz.
Mutz came from Delaware.
Yeah, but I think he's a good coach, man. I think he's really good. I mean, it's not his fault their team sucks because he deserves better.
I think Basili came from Cleveland State. No, is that
– Might be right. A little tatted up white dude.
Was it Cleveland State? Kind of a thug.
No. It might be, but I think he's. I just think he's a really good coach, man. I like the guy. I think he can do his thing. He's funny to listen to. He has great press conferences too.
He does a good job.
Yeah.
They do a good job. They got some. They shoot the ball, man. God, they can shoot.
Much more pleasant coach than him, I imagine. Win or lose.
I don't like losing to Tech.
I'm sure.
So
what are you? I'm surprised. I saw the video was TB saying hello to Jalen Hurts.
Yeah,
and you were in the front, so you didn't turn around and say, you know, no, I was like, guy, I whatever.
I just told Mark he's the second best quarterback in Pennsylvania. My look was like, what's he doing here? They just played yesterday, or the day before, and I was like, why is he here? Because it didn't make sense to me. He didn't go to Syracuse.
It made no sense. I'm sure the guy paid him to go.
I didn't think he was a Virginia fan, so I was like, "Why is he here?"
The booster. It said he has a standing $1 million NIL deal offer to a football and basketball player at Syracuse. I don't know if that's every year. If it's one guy, it's more than one. But that's the guy who Mark probably knows about. Hmm. Massive scrap metal business, upstate New York.
Billionaire.
He's done a lot of things, but yeah, that's the most random thing that Hurts went up there. So there's always more than meets the eye. You know how these things work.
Well, I'm sure there was some type of like
paid him.
Fee to come up there. Like,
of course.
Right.
Yep. And by the way, we could go on for a lot longer. I've got more questions, but we're safe and comments. We'll save for next week. Really quickly, we'll keep Dougie on. How are you feeling about Tech?
Oh, I'm nervous.
Yeah,
you know they're coming off an L. They'll be hungry. It's going to be rowdy in there. Hopefully the students aren't all in at noon. I think it's a noon start. Hopefully they sleep in from the night before. But I anticipate the barn being rocking, and it'll be a fun environment for our guys. We got to be ready. You know, we got to defend. Our defense has got to travel, and hopefully we can stop the 3-point barrage that they can put on you.
Riding a 7-game win streak, hopefully getting 8. When will you guys head down?
We'll go Friday.
All right.
We'll practice here Friday, and we'll go in Friday night.
All right. Well, we're going to say goodnight because we've gone on for a little bit over an hour. And we thank all our audience for joining. And, of course, W Fresh for always adding so much great entertainment. Best of luck to you on Saturday.
Thank you, boss.
And once again, we are sponsored by the Jay Willie Show. It's sponsored by Rhines and Rogers, where Charlottesville gets engaged. Check them out online at rhinesandrogers.com or at their storefront at 240 29th Place, Court in Seville. My man Spence is really getting this thing going, making it easy.
It's big time.
Making it easy for me. I love Spence. Little Ski. And next week, we're going to try to get on Big Ski to talk about the financial literacy piece he's doing.
And Mark, we got to, whatever questions we had this week, we got to try to get a few.
Yeah.
If there were any.
Absolutely. It's always hard to get everything in because you're so entertaining. And so I'll leave it at that. Even when you don't want to share your true feelings on James Wiseman. All right. All the best on Saturday. We'll see you next
time. All right. Thanks, boss.
Take care.
Yep.